Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone.
Today we're recommending A Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. Impress your friends with real-life magic. Act like you read a long book without any actual reading.
Think of all the masturbating you'll get done.
So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. That's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Enjoy the episode. Reese's, put down that Merc Monk.
But he's my friend.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Until the deed is done, until the quest is won, the battle's in our minds, until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. We're back, baby.
We're back.
that's the subtitle to the episode. We're back, baby.
That would be like our TGIF season returns.
Oh thing. Yeah, dude. We're something's back, always baby. Funny on TGIF, something like that. Fucking families watch TGIF, and it makes them happier.
Eat together. Pizza. Be an American.
Drink a Pepsi.
Drink some root beer.
Yeah. It's just happiness. Yeah. It's just Friday night happiness.
Comfort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're back.
Mm-hmm.
I moved.
Yeah.
I'm in California now.
What?
Yeah. Say what? Say yeah.
What?
The move was one of a few days of
you,
my life.
You moved several times.
I moved out of my place in Philadelphia into my parents for a couple days, and then we had to take all of my belongings and figure out which ones were coming to California again.
Yes.
And
I would have just burned them all.
Let me recommend this to you, Josh.
Yeah.
Throw out almost everything you own, except for some clothes that you like.
That sounds like a good idea.
I have so little stuff now, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, but you're going to just build up again.
Yeah, you know me, dude. I'm like those pack rat witches from the Labyrinth.
Yes.
Just putting all of my favorite old toys on my back.
Yep, yep.
Like a witch puppet. I watched that the other night. I watched it at this budget theater near Corey's house in Orange County.
I've seen it recently.
It's great.
It's a good movie.
You know what I noticed on the bookshelf? Because it was like, this is my first time seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah.
But on the bookshelf, when her dad's talking to her through the door at the beginning of the film, there's a Judge Dredd comic book on the bookshelf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I thought it was pretty cool.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, I guess Brian Froud is like a UK, or maybe he's, I can't remember where he's from.
I think they're from the UK, yeah. I think
he is, and Judge Dredd is a, I think it's a UK book, too.
Yeah, it is.
So...
There's all kinds of weird British-y things in the original.
They all know each other, you know?
It's like being a British actor. Like, everyone knows all the British actors. They all hang out.
They all know each other.
On the Isle of Man.
Did you know that Liam Neeson supposedly has a huge penis?
I could see that. I mean, I can't see it right now.
I just wanted to bring that up. I just wanted to touch on that, and we're moving on.
All right. Next thing.
I just wanted to bring up that little fact. Now we're going forward. I also went to the pleasure fair.
Yeah.
You saw the photo.
I saw the photo. You were looking dashing.
If you want to see sexier Dread Pirate Roberts.
If that's possible, which it is.
If that's possible, which it is.
I saw it.
You can check out the photo I uploaded to our Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our Facebook, just type in Fantasy Fiction in the search bar. It should come up.
I'm just imagining you wearing that mask right now.
Well, I am.
Thinking about Liam Neeson's penis.
Well, that's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a lacy mask and nothing else. And I'm imagining, I'm drawing his penis, actually.
You just, yeah. You're just
and each one I draw is bigger. I'm like, oh, man.
That's the one.
This is gonna be the biggest one.
You're like Leonardo da Vinci. You're writing with both hands, drawing penises with both hands.
And each one is bigger and bigger, and they just get longer and loop around like a squiggly road
sign. Like a double helix. we're back. Fantasy
fiction. We're back. I know I'm talking about myself a lot. I want to know about you. We're gonna bring up one more thing of my life.
Okay.
Before we get to you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I saw Ex Machina.
Yes, I...
Tight.
I heard you liked it.
It's very good.
You had said to me that you liked it, and I am excited to see it.
Avengers 2 I also saw.
Yeah.
Not so good.
That's what people are saying, and I think we're getting to the point with the Marvel movies where maybe we're a little bit tired of them.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean... After the movie, like, there's no post-credits scene.
Yeah.
There's only a mid-credits scene.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's, I'll spoil it, you guys, if you
do
want
it
not to be spoiled. It's nothing big, but it's, here it is. Just skip ahead 2 minutes in the podcast. But it's Thanos grabbing the empty Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
And he's like, I gotta do this myself. And when that happens, I couldn't help but feel frustrated that I had to sit through more of this bullshit leading up to this big event that, like, I'm not even excited for.
Well, like, I always thought, and I don't know about the comic book that much, but I always thought that where they were going with these movies was Thanos acquiring the stones for the gauntlet. And now, yeah, all of a sudden he's just like, well, I gotta do this myself. Do what yourself? Beat up a bunch of superheroes?
Well, yes,
like,
definitely.
What are you doing yourself?
Well, I think what it implies is that Thanos had been, like, you know, pulling the strings
right,
a little bit
Puppet
throughout
Master,
the
yeah.
last couple of Marvel films.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and take it from them now.
Well, you should have just done that in the fucking first place and saved us all 17 movies.
Yeah, you purple-ass bitch.
Josh Brolin-ass motherfuck.
But
stupid.
If you have a choice to see Ex Machina or Avengers 2, I highly recommend
it. Are they both in the theaters right now?
They are both in the theaters right now.
Okay.
And they're both, that, you know, Corey pointed this out, they're both about AI.
Yes. There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Chappy.
Did you catch it? Did you catch the AI? I came down with a bad
You course. Got the AI. I was sick like last week, so maybe I had some AI in me.
Yeah, maybe you had some AI.
I should have got tested.
Something to think about.
What's the test for AI? Isn't there like a test, scientific test?
Oh, yeah. They talk about it in Ex Machina.
Yeah.
It's the Turing test?
The Turing test. That's it. Thank you.
But what did you do this week, Josh? You were doing smart guy stuff last night, right?
Yeah, last night we shot the very last thing that we needed to get that we missed. And I was in Philadelphia, and it was good. So that's done. It's going to be done soon. And I missed the train coming home by 1 minute.
That is horrible.
You
missed the train coming home, Josh. What time was the train?
8:45. So I had to wait until 9:45. So I sat next to a man who was eating food loudly on a bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at the clock, and it went slow.
Yeah. And then you looked at your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
5 minutes later, you looked back at the clock.
I looked at my phone, and my phone was like 19%. And I'm like, this ain't going to make it. You know? And then, like, you get on the train, and it's like, oh, I have another 40 minutes of sitting on this fucking train staring at people pretending to be, you know, whatever.
Looking at your phone for another 5 minutes, looking at the same things, mm-hmm. wishing people in your social medias would live their life and broadcast it.
I deleted Facebook from my phone, and I can't tell you how great my life has been.
Yeah, I think I'm going to delete it from my phone as well, just because I don't use it.
It's stupid.
I use the Pages Manager for the fantasy fiction page, but I almost never post to Facebook.
I hate
anything.
It.
It's awful. It's so bad.
I mean, like, I really have, like, culled the herd when it comes to the stuff I see. But there is not a day where I don't see something on Facebook where I'm just like, why? Why do we live like this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's our problem? People walked on the face of the fucking moon one time. And now all we do is we sit around and look at a fucking brick in our lap. Some lady on the train last night, walking in front of me, there's like a million seats because it's fucking 10 o'clock at night. Nobody's mm-hmm. taking a train. And she's looking at her phone and she's like doing the train aisle shuffle, like going like 2 fucking centimeters an hour. It's like, put your phone down and take your seat. That's your main goal in life right now, is to take a seat on the train.
Josh has got a bone to pick.
Dude. I'm ready. I'm ready for the AIs to take over and delete everything. Fuck it.
You know what? I am too. Fuck it, you guys. Now let's get into some fantasy. That's me changing the gears on the Dragula, baby.
Are you ready for my story?
I am ready for your story of elixirs and vampires. I forgot that we didn't say that, so.
Yeah, that's what it's about this week.
Guys, get ready.
We've had a long...
Be ready now.
We've had a long couple days. All right, my story this week is called Drop Dead Fred, which is the only not copywritten name... That's not copywritten, trust me.
I thought there was maybe a movie, maybe?
No.
Oh. Okay,
no.
All right.
No.
Well, you say so. Hey, it's a good title. Good job, man. That's good.
Hey, man, is it even really ever a movie if they don't show Liam Neeson's penis?
He right.
I bet Ex Machina references it.
They do. They talk about how large it is and how if they could get AI in it, they could maybe save the world.
That's the supercomputer. It's just a big old dick.
Big old danger.
All right. Day broke over the city of Grawl like that condom inside your mama that one time 9 months before you were born. Oh. We're back. Fantasy fiction. Baby, baby. Remix. A cummy mist hovered over the quiet streets of Grawl as if to say, yeah, wasn't last night crazy? Look at all this cummy mist as proof. The Golden Hindquarters, Ass Emporium, and Steakhouse had closed only a few hours earlier, but inside remained an unconscious rabble of adventurers, ass connoisseurs, and anyone stupid enough to try and take on a 72-ounce steak without first getting clearance from their doctor and taking out a hefty life insurance policy so that their family won't be sad because now they're rich. Which is all life insurance really is.
It is. It's like, hey, we're sorry somebody you love died, but I think you might love this $10,000.
This 50 grand will make it the sad stop.
$10,000, I think, I take that number maybe from Raisin in the Sun.
Yeah?
I think maybe that's how much they got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so my idea of life insurance is dated play, the sad play. That's my
grand.
Only reference.
10 grand was a lot of money, like, in 1940. 10 grand. I mean, it's still a lot of money. Like, I don't fucking have 10 grand. But
yeah, I wish I had 10 grand.
I know, right? Shit.
Fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. We'll put a t-shirt up there for 10 grand.
Life insurance.
Special edition, only one. The special life insurance shirt.
We could be like Vincent Gallo. He used to sell shirts that he would jizz on. That's a real thing that he did.
Oh.
Because Vincent Gallo is, well, he's Vincent Gallo.
Well, guys, we're going to have to do a pre-sale for that one.
A pre-cum sale.
I'm not, you know, releasing my fluids on something that's not going to sell.
Right.
Releasing my fluids is probably the grossest thing I've ever said. Go on.
Fred the Skull Peeler lay on the bar, totally assed out from going 200% Andre the Giant and downing 47 kegs of mead the night before. All around him lay the carnage of the night before. Panties hung from candle holders. A skeleton's body wandered around headless searching for his dome, which someone used as a urinal. A goblin was wearing lipstick?
What?
Yeah. This place was a real-life episode of Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Nobody knows what that is.
Nobody knows, but it was just like it.
As Fred awoke, the realization of how hungover he was hit him like a ton of bricks that each had his darkest failures inscribed on them, and one of them said, "Piano lessons for dogs?" Looking around, Fred surveyed the carnage. He couldn't remember the night before. All around him on the floor lay passed-out naked ladies. His head rang with the pain of 1,000 plucked pubic hairs.
Ooh.
I did that once.
That's no good.
You don't forget it.
Mm-mm.
Then he saw it. The most disgusting thing he had ever laid eyes on. A basket full of pretzel crumbs. Because when you're hungover, everything's disgusting.
Everything is the worst thing.
Upon seeing this, he threw up all over the naked ladies on the floor. It was good they were unconscious, because usually you have to pay extra for that sort of action.
Oh, no.
Sex workers, they have it rough.
They do.
Harry, Fred said, gesturing for the bartender. Harry, I need to cure this hangover. One clam juice with a pickled giant's toe, please. The bartender did not answer. Harry! Fred yelled, then immediately grabbed his head because he had yelled too loudly. For fart's sake, Harry, you sack of null dicks! But as Fred looked over the bar, he saw Harry laying on the floor, and he had been turned into a skeleton.
Oh!
A dead skeleton!
Oh my god! Oh my god!
With rats crawling through his beard.
Oh no!
Oh no, Harry! Fred said alarmed. On Harry's shirt was pinned a parchment note. Fred plucked it from his gross dead shirt and began to read aloud so that everyone listening to the podcast could hear. Dear Fredo, if you're reading this, I have been turned into a dead skeleton from partying too hard. Don't be sad. I died doing what I love, drinking myself to death. I leave the steakhouse to whoever, I don't care. Enclosed is a treasure map to the greatest treasure I know of. The cure for all hangovers. Okay, bye forever. A single tear rolled down Fred's face. Harry always did know how to write the shit out of some parchment. I have to find the treasure for Harry, Fred yelled as he stood up, unsheathing his sword and doing a cool warrior pose. Then he immediately threw up on the naked ladies. Hey, you just gotta have to pay double for that kind of action, said a half-still-drunk lady from last night covered in gross hork, and then she passed out again.
Ooh.
Dude, this place is crazy.
Yeah, it sounds pretty crazy.
We should go.
You go and tell me about it.
I have, and I will.
Next week.
Stay tuned, fantasy fiction. Meanwhile, in the back of the steakhouse, a familiar face lay in wait, only pretending to be unconscious. It was Gravy Chops the Dog Man. Hangover cure, eh? He said to himself. I'll be rich with riches, and I'll finally get back at Fred for not being able to teach me how to play piano. My talents will not be contained. Gravy Chops thought as he laughed maniacally and then licked himself, because dog mouths are cleaner than human mouths, which is why it's okay for a dog to lick your balls. I mean lick your face. 20 minutes into his journey for the hangover potion, and Fred had already thrown up 4 more times. This, by far, was the worst hangover he'd ever had. Even worse than the one he had after visiting Orc Vegas. So stupid.
Orc Vegas.
Orc. Just put, you know, put Orc in front of it.
Just put Orc in front of you.
Troll
thing.
Vegas. I wrestled Troll. With Troll Vegas. I was like,
Troll
no,
Vegas.
No.
Skella Vegas.
Las Vegas would be good.
Las Vegas. Like I think that exists.
Sexy lasses, like spelled like L-A-S-S.
Ooh, lass.
I should have done that. Even worse than the one time after visiting Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Nailed it.
Got him.
Fred pulled out the map. Let's see, he said. Take the westerly road past the mammoth graveyards and head towards Sanguinous Keep. Fred the Skull Peeler, yelled Gravy Trops from behind. Fred immediately recognized his dog voice and froze. He was in no shape for battle. Only 10 minutes prior, he had diarrhea and vomited at the same time. He tried to grab his sword from his back, but it was too heavy in the shape he was in. Fred only had one option. Run. After him, yelled Gravy Chops as a pack of frothy-mouthed dogmen rose from the grass and began to chase down Fred like a piece of meat with legs, which is really just what we all are, if you think about it.
Running is the last thing I want to do if I have a hangover, dude, by the way.
Living is the last thing you want to do. You just want to die. You're like, all right. And you can only blame yourself. I mean, they really need to come up with a cure for a hangover.
It's weed. It's marijuana.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. This fucking sucks, Fred, as he began to throw up again while running. Along the side of the road was a beat-up old sign. Sanguinous Keep, 1 mile, with a skeleton hanging from off a chain. Almost there, y'all, he said encouragingly as he handed Fred a cup of water. As Fred approached the keep, the sky began to darken. He was running out of energy, and the dogmen were hot on his taint. Ahead lay a rickety old bridge that led to an ancient spooky-looking castle surrounded by a gaping chasm, just like the one in between your mom's legs. Fantasy fiction, bi-coastal. Lightning began to strike all the fuck over the place, frightening the dogmen. Onward, you mutts, yelled Gravy Chops. As Fred approached the bridge, there was another sign with a skeleton chained to it, which said, Sanguinous Keep, no loitering. Oh, hi, it's me again, y'all, said the skeleton. Fred, realizing he needed to ditch the dogman, thought quickly and grabbed the skeleton's skull and tossed it into the gorge below. Oh, bye, y'all, said the skeleton. Seeing this, the dogmen all followed the skeleton's skull into the gorge. Oh, not again, said Gravy Chops as he and his men fell to their deaths. Or did they?
What? You just put, or did they, at the end of anything just to leave it open? It's a good writing technique.
They do it in the Avengers.
My tombstone's going to say it. Here lies Dominic. Or did he?
1984. Wait, 85? 85. 1985 to 2070, whenever the fuck you're going to die. And then it's going to be another dash, and it's going to say, or did he? Dude. As Fred entered the keep, he could hear a raucous party going on somewhere within. The bass was thumping through the stone walls like a big booty bitch on the hood of a 1987 Bone Camaro listening to Whitesnake. Do you have an invitation, sir? Said a very proper skeleton with a pencil mustache and a monocle standing behind a podium with a fitted suit on. Fred said, sir, what is the password? Asked the skeleton. Fred thought for a second. This must be some kind of riddle. He looked around for clues quickly. He stammered and finally threw out a guess. Fuck the police? He guessed. Right this way, sir. If you say that at any club, they'll let you in.
They'll let you in. They're like, yes, you are right. Follow me.
He knows. Right this way, sir, said the skeleton as he opened a hidden passage. Inside, Fred saw the most epic party he had ever seen since last night. Atop a throne sat a finely dressed, very pale man with like 32 naked ladies and dudes surrounding him, all chained up. Inside, the DJ was playing the Matrix Reloaded soundtrack, and everyone was dressed like it was Halloween. Fred bumped into a girl kissing another girl. Oh, excuse me, he yelled over the music. But when he looked down, he saw that the heads were attached to the same body. It was a two-headed sexy ogre kissing itself? Yeah, it was that kind of party. Fred walked past a darkened room where all kinds of demons and minions were doing moon dust off of each other's taints, which, if you're a demon, pretty much is every part of your body.
What, the taint is just every part of your body?
If you're a demon.
Yeah, sometimes they have, like, multiple things.
Well, they have, you could have, like, a dick coming out of your armpit if you're a demon.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
I want to be one.
That's crazy, because that's where Liam Neeson's dick is, too.
I fucking knew it.
He can't wear t-shirts.
Or tank tops.
No, tank tops he can wear. Understandable. It's just t-shirts too uncomfortable.
Free balling. I'm raising my arm up and my dick's flapping around. It's disgusting.
That's why he never high fives anyone in any of those Taken movies.
That's true.
His dick would totally be on camera.
You have to get paid extra for that shit. Oh man, this place was crazy. This place is crazy, Fred said to himself. DJ Skelemancer, boomed the finely dressed man. Suddenly the DJ, who was a skeleton wearing one of those medieval masks for some reason, stopped the music. Everyone was silent. It seems we have an uninvited guest, said the finely dressed man. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Lord Sanguinis, pronounced with the Guinness. Yo, ladies, allow me to pinis... the I'm not very good at rapping, he said. You are here for the hangover potion, I can tell. How? Fred asked. Because you're covered in vomit. I admire that.
Pretty telling. Pretty telling that someone has had a horrible 24 hours.
Night. Yes. Sometimes it's 2 days. Those are the good ones.
Oh, no thanks.
Sanguinis said as he finished off his wine. I, too, enjoy a good time, he said as he began to drink the blood from one of his concubines. You're a vampire, Fred said, alarmed. Yes, and I have what you need. But you will need to drink my blood, Sanguinis said as he began to drink more blood from his concubine's foot, because he was into that sort of thing. Fred thought about it for a second. Will it turn me into a vampire, he asked. How should I know? I never drank my own blood. Ew, that's gross, Sanguinis said. All right, I'll do it, Fred said. Very convincing. Instantly, Sanguinis appeared in front of him. He reached out his arm and used his dagger to draw blood. Fred began to drink, hoping he wouldn't turn into a Dracula. This tastes like alcohol, Fred said, surprised. It's just like a Bloody Mary. Yes, Sanguinis said. The only way to cure a hangover is by drinking more. It not only helps, but drinking makes you look cool. All of my friends drink. Drinking is cool. Suddenly, Fred felt better. DJ Skelemancer, Sanguinis boomed. Suddenly, the party was raging once again. The room began to spin, and the night marched on. The last thing Fred remembered was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls playing during the last couple's dance, and then he passed out. The next morning, Fred awoke, and everyone was gone. He looked around for anyone, but it looked like the castle had been abandoned for centuries. God damn it, Fred said as he threw up again, now with a double hangover.
Oh,
Finn.
Damn. I just want to kind of end the episode right there, just on that damn.
Dude, do it. That's perfect.
But there's no my story. There's no outro. It's just damn.
Damn.
Great story, Josh.
Thanks.
Fred's back and he's throwing up. Yep. It's kind of gross, but
you can tell I was sick,
Fred,
when I wrote it.
That's Fred. Ain't it?
It is. It's his life, man.
I'm glad he didn't die.
Yeah, me too. Or did he? See?
Or did he?
See what I did there?
Josh, are you ready for my tale of vampires and elixirs?
Oh, yeah.
This one's called Styx.
The band?
The band.
Fuck yeah.
Once upon a moonstay evening in the forest of Glyndrill, a black carriage pulled by two black horses with black hair and black contacts came down the road.
Fucking badass.
Yeah. Driving the carriage was one Lord Balaam, local vampire and hanger-outer of ghosts. Formerly an elf, the vampire wore all black, including a flowing silk cape, and a black belt with a holster for his most sinful hobby, devil sticks.
Oh, the most sinful hobby.
The only way the devil is entertained. Only men at Ren Fairs can entertain the devil. Good moon to you, good sir, called a voice from the top of a nearby hill. Lord Balaam turned his wicked glare toward the voice and found a short, elf-like being in a pointed red hat. I say good moon to you, sir. Good moon from Fingrin the Elfling. Elfling, replied the vampire. I've never heard of such a creature. Half elf, halfling, said the elfling with a smile, and 100% flutician. He began playing the flute so good it made all the forest critters come out and swoon, and it was like this. And then a little chipmunk was like, do you think me?
Oh my god.
Look, dude, said the vampire, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but you smell really bad and you're ugly as shit, and when I look at you and want to do evil stuff like straight up dropping 712 on your ass. 712 was a historic date in Orcspire because on that day the wind blew a large boulder down a hill and over a small gnome town. Many were killed, but enough time had passed so people could use its historical significance as a joke for their own personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever. That thing already happened. It's old. Get over it, you past-loving friend Flintstone fuck.
Never 12 get.
Never 712 again. I think that's what they say. Fingrin seemed unmoved by Lord Balaam's insults. In fact, he hadn't heard them at all as a glow moth flew around his head and landed on his pointy red hat. When I was born, I was too small, so they had to have chicken sit on me for the first few weeks of my life. My mom said I absorbed some of their powers. Fingrin began to peck at the ground for seed. Look, elfling, said the vampire as the moth flew away. I'm a badass vampire, and that means I got two options right now. Kill your ass pale boys style, or hypnotize you into becoming my servant. By the way, pale boys was spelled with a Z.
Oh, definitely.
I'm afraid neither is an option, replied Fingrin. I have plans on this moon. I've got a long list of woodland creatures that I need to play the flute for this evening.
I dislike Fingrin.
You dislike him?
Yeah. I wanna do pale boy style things to him.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I thought you would like it.
Too cheerful.
Okay, he's right. But before Fingrin could go over his set list, he got distracted by the wicked tapping of stick on stick.
Oh, shit.
He dropped his wooden flute and fixated on the magnificent display that was Lord Balaam on the devil sticks. And man, could that white-ass whitey flip those sticks like it was nobody but Satan's business. The vampire flipped those motherfucking sticks of pure evil all over. One devil stick was spinning in front of his face, and if you looked directly into that stick, you could see the Lord of Darkness himself, and he was rapping about how devil sticking makes all the latest sigh.
It's like I'm there. I can see it.
Yeah, dude. You can, in your mind's eye.
Oh, yeah. He's covering his mouth, and he's doing like a hand motion. Oh, yeah.
The stickening was over. The elfling stared blankly as he said in his new, darker voice, I will carry out each and every wish of the devil sticks and will crush all of the devil sticks' enemies. Eh, close enough, said the vampire. You are now my dark servant. Lord Balaam laughed as the elfling boarded the carriage and the two returned to Lord Balaam's castle. The castle was old and dusty, like there hadn't been a monster mash inside of it for ages. Lord Balaam threw his grocery bags on the ground and began. Now that you are my servant, you have
he
a long
was
list of daily
shopping beforehand.
He's just like,
I'll deal with this later.
He was, by the way, he was, I don't know, missing information. He was out buying groceries. Now that you are my servant, you have a list of daily duties, which include washing and properly drying my devil sticks, along with lighting every candle up in this bitch.
Jeez,
come on, let me show you around the castle.
That's going to take a long time.
That's take a long ass time. Fucking a vampire's castle.
Yeah,
there's, you know, there's like 700 candles in
probably
that
more.
About that. The two descended a long spiral staircase into the basement to a room filled with many instruments of experimentation. This is my laboratory, said Lord Balaam. Here I carry out my most heinous experiments, like, does a cat really land on all fours? And what's every soda mixed together taste like? Is that a sleep elixir? Asked Fingrin, pointing to a shelf full of vials filled with a cloudy potion. Why, of course, sleep is a most powerful potion. Very useful, replied the vampire. Yeah, it's kind of an unethical one. Putting someone to sleep against their will and all? I mean, you can fill in the blanks here.
Mm-hmm.
I have insomnia, okay? Said Lord Balaam very, very defensively.
I want to point out how genius that is, a vampire with insomnia.
Not implied.
It's implied.
Not intended.
Your purpose. It's on purpose.
It was a purposed. In the corner of the room, a goblin was locked in a small cage. He whimpered, please put me to sleep forever. Quiet, Nathaniel, shouted the vampire. Lord Balaam and Fingrin made their...
Nathaniel, that's it for...
That's all. I think I may have wanted to flesh out Nathaniel a little bit more, but I will spoil it. He does not come back.
Ripped.
Lord Balaam and Fingrin made their way back upstairs into the main dining room, which contained a long dining table and a huge fireplace. This is where most of my victims fall victim to my devil's stickening. But I'll need your help, said Lord Balaam. Mm. Whenever I bring a girl into the dining room here, there has to be nothing on the tables. I'll distract her by talking about devil sticks. Then when she turns back to the tables, they will have wine glasses on them, and in the glasses will be blood, and she'll get scared and turn back around toward me, and I'll be in a towel. You know, the more you talk about your lifestyle, the more it sounds like some boundaries are being crossed all over, said Fingrin. What? No, this is what vampires do. I thought vampires bit people on the neck. Yes, well, getting there is the art of vampiring. And the art of vampiring requires you to be in nothing but a towel. I've had enough of your piss-poor servitude, said Lord Balaam as he reached for the sharpest devil stick in his collection.
Oh, shit.
You have seriously been the worst since I picked you up. Fingrin reached inside his vest for a wooden flute. It was time for the craziest showdown Orkspire had ever seen. Devil sticks versus elfling flute. Lord Balaam started out with a simple juggle of one stick, but soon was sticking 17 goddamn devil sticks at once. It was kind of like dubstep.
Let the stick drop.
Fingrin began to play his flute. It was beautiful, and it sounded just like this. Sweet dreams of rhythm and passion. Sweet dreams of dancing through the night. Sweet dreams
take you over.
Dancing through the night.
Oh, yeah.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Oh, night.
The night.
That's like the Cher version.
This is the rhythm of the night. It transitioned into that pretty easily.
Dude, he's like a mixologist, a remix artist.
Yeah, in the background, it was like, clue, 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 clue. Its beauty caught Lord Balaam off guard, and he almost dropped a stick.
Oh, shit.
Almost. The ground began to shake, and the front door of the castle opened up. In poured thousands of woodland creatures with sharp sticks and pebbles. They began to shank Lord Balaam critter prison style.
Oh, my God.
One squirrel ran up the vampire and whispered in his ear, "Your sticks sucks dicks."
Oh my god.
As he slit his throat with a broken acorn's head.
What the fuck?
The end.
Jesus fucking Christ.
He died, by the way. That's a way you can kill a vampire.
Or did he?
Or did he?
No, he's totally dead.
No. He died. He's dead. Lord Balaam's gone.
Great story. Fingering, he won me back. He won me over.
Sweet dreams of rhythm and passion. Dancing through the night.
That's beautiful.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Fantasy Fiction, and thank you, double thanks, for being so patient.
Yeah, we ran into some problems. I was sick with AI disease.
I moved.
Dumb moved.
It's been crazy, but we're back. We'll have another episode this Moonsday, I think, Josh?
Moonsday, absolutely.
We'll have another episode ready for you then. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back on schedule now, rolling them out.
Blah, 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 blah.
And if you guys want to support the show, use the Audible trial, audible.com/fantasyfiction. You guys can cancel anytime. It's a free trial, 30-day membership. Download a book.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it 30 days? No, I think it's one free download. It's okay. One free download. Download a book.
Do it. Read the
delete
book.
Delete it. Delete it when you're done.
Delete it.
Do you talk about it with your friends?
Delete. I read a book. I deleted it.
I delete the hell out of books.
I guess like returning a book to a library is kind of like deleting it. I deleted it.
I wish that I lived in a time where I could read something so outrageous and offending in a book that I would throw the book out the window.
Fuck this. You just throw it out the window.
Fuck this message.
I'm fucking offended.
You guys can also support the show by stopping by our merch store, fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. And I've got news for you. I'm placing an order for more t-shirts. We're going to have new t-shirts in stock.
Yes,
soon.
New ones. Restocks. Awesome ones.
And let's just say a certain band t-shirt will be coming along.
Yes.
You can fill in the blanks.
Fill in the blanks.
Figure it out. But another great way to support the show. By leaving an iTunes review.
Do it. I'm going to read one right now.
This is how we transition. This is what we do. I set them up. Josh is
knocks them down. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. This one's by Crispy Broccoli. Painfully funny,
nice,
literally painful, 5 stars. It is a nice name. I recently had my wisdom teeth removed and have been in fairly severe discomfort for a few days. I decided to pass some time and cheer myself up by turning on this podcast. Within minutes, I had to turn it off. My hysterical laughter aggravated the surgical sites in my mouth, partially opened the wounds, and caused terrible bleeding and pain.
Oh my god.
Fuck yeah, we did it. If there's a point to this, it's that this podcast will ruin your week and you should definitely listen to it. That's my favorite review.
You did this, Josh. You did that to him.
Your
pain. It had to be, because he had to turn it off because he was into your story.
Probably, it might have been yours.
Yeah, right, dude. You ripped that dude's mouth apart with your jokes.
I'll take credit for that. One time I made a kid laugh so hard he threw up a cookie.
Wow.
That's my proudest moment.
What were you doing?
I don't remember. I have no idea.
I just imagine it was dancing.
It might have been something like that. I don't remember.
It was sweet dreams of rhythm and dancing.
I don't know the words. I'm just making
them up. Me neither. I don't know if I know the words. What's that other song?
Wanna be my lover.
I was listening to a lot of that music this week, and I was talking with my girlfriend Corey about it, who is a big fan of that genre.
LaBouche.
Yeah, LaBouche.
What do they call that? What would that be? Freestyle? Is it? That's not freestyle.
I think it is freestyle.
Nick loves freestyle. Our friend Nick really likes
freestyle. Is pretty dope.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
We were talking about how music, pop music today, is kind of trying to sound like that
a little bit, but it's super
manufactured and not sung by like awesome black women.
Right? Yeah, it's not like a CNC Music Factory. Remember when that came out? And like, dude, that song was everywhere.
Dude, that song still is everywhere.
It's in my heart.
Yeah, dude. What's that one that's Groove is in the Heart?
Oh, dude, Delight. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That's a great video,
Groove's
too.
That's a white woman.
That is.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks again for listening to the show, guys. If you want to submit your prompt, submit one, count them one, on YouTube. It's easier for us to go through, and it's more fair to everyone.
Yes.
So
pick your favorite.
Leave your prompt in a comment, and we'll pick it, and we'll use it for next week's episode.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find out.
I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Josh?
I'm good.
Yeah, you know what? I'm good, too. It feels good. I'm happy to be back. It's great to be doing the show with you again.
Yeah.
And I look forward to doing it again this week.
Baby. I missed it. It felt like a hole was in my heart.
A hole was in my heart. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. We'll see you next week. And Josh?
Thanks for listening. See you Monday. And keep on wizarding.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna keep on wizarding.
Oh, yeah. Gotta keep on wizarding. Thank you. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.